This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 11th of July, 2023, and happy independence, Bahamas. We are now 50 years old.
And one day.
I want to throw out on the table, again, a part of the conversation that we ended with on Friday. Do we have more dollars than sense of self, sense of place, sense of time? And can we move forward into the next 50 without those things at all? So this morning, it's a Tuesday. Joining me is Mr. Mark Palmer on this Sand Dollar Tuesday as we wait for representatives from the Central Bank Sand Dollar Adoption Unit to join us. Morning. We're going to jump into a little conversation.
We're all Bahamas out here in the studio, apart from CA.
Oh, no. Check him out.
What happened to your shirt?
Look at it.
I have the flamingos.
Oh, he's got the flamingo. Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Extra baby. Is that a blue flamingo you repping?
No, palm tree. Flamingo
and the palm trees of, can't see the plantation.
Yeah,
I gotta get some.
I
see Mark is bright, bright colored.
I tell you, I went all out this year.
I see.
Bahari, I'm allowed to say, boy, they have some nice things. Yeah.
All right, so we got lots to talk about. Like I said, I'm waiting for Sand Dollar to enter the chat, right? I have to make this note. Later in the week, I want to have a focused conversation on, we're going to talk independence, right? But I want to talk about what people need to be independent, right? And like what people need to be independent of the state in particular. I want to mention, you know, just very quickly, the vendors on Montague Beach on the ramp side are very concerned at the length of time it's taken to reopen the bathroom on that side.
Mm.
They understand the circumstances why it's closed, right? It's no fault of the governments and it's no fault of the vendors, but it's been a considerable amount of time. And I had a personal experience where I may have or not have been on the ramp in a condition of hangoverness, and I needed to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not. And I was very, very perturbed. Fortunately, I don't live far from the ramp, so I was safe. But for those people who do live very, very far from the ramp, like tourists, right? It's a big issue.
Just off the cuff, is the other bathroom working?
The other one on the other side of Montague Beach is now functional. Both of them had been down for a while. And it's for me, it's concerning because I see the effort that the vendors and the people working in that space have put in to make it a viable economic space, right? And the tourists are coming in. The taxi drivers are bringing tourists in. The charters set off. A lot of charters set off from the dock next to the ramp. And they have spent a lot of time and effort in creating a product, in being a part of a product that's wider than them and supporting that product. And the one missing element is the bathroom, right? And these are people who don't rely on the government. These are people who have decided that they're going to make a way for themselves. But they still need the public infrastructure to be in place so they could do that.
It is low-hanging fruit, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I mentioned to you, last time I came in from the Family Islands, I went to use the bathroom, and nothing was working. The doors didn't close in the cubicles. There had no soap. And it's just, it's a simple, you know, that's your first impression, right? And It's little things like that.
Yeah, and go on.
No, actually, before you transition, I know you mentioned independence. I wanted you to give a definition of the difference between independent and independence. Because it seems that that's an ongoing debate as a number of Bahamians don't understand or appreciate the difference. And saying, proclaiming that the Bahamas is not independent. So because they are not independent, they cannot celebrate independence. And I just think that that's an important distinction that needs to have a conversation.
Well, you know, I went to Bahamar, right? Was it Saturday night? And I wished the security guard, I said, "Hey, happy independence." He said, "I ain't celebrating that." And I said, "Come on, what you mean?" He said, "We're not independent." He said, "Well, look at our prison system, right? It's Her Majesty's prison, Princess Margaret Hospital." And he said, "We're not really truly independent. We still have a British system." And then he pointed, gesticulated at this group of young people. He said, "They don't know any of this. They think it's all entertainment." So I thought that was interesting. Now, this guy was as raw as you could come. You know,
working class Bahamian.
I'm telling you, I was like, what a truth bomb.
It shows a disconnect in terms of vocabulary and understanding of the term independence and how it came about or what does it mean. And I think our listening audience needs to appreciate a definition. And this is where our government fail, right? Because there are a number of systems in place, a number of things that are happening that the general public just do not appreciate or understand. And we are acting as if they do understand going forward. And it causing a disconnect between society or general society or working class Bahamians to government and governance in general. And I think that term needs to be explained. And how I have you as the official definer of words, right, Aaron, to say, "Hey, let me put it to you. You explain independent.
So I think it, like, in this context, right, independence is a political state, right? It's like a political construct. It doesn't mean completely and entirely independent of other countries or political systems, right? Independent means that you have the ability to take care of yourself, right, without the support of other people, without the assistance or the help or service of other people. You are independent." And I think you're right, there is a disconnect because there is no country that is independent on the planet Kowloon at all, right? If we look at China and the U.S., we say these are the two superpowers, and you know, they've been juxtaposed, they've positioned as oppositional, as enemies, right? But China can't survive without the U.S., and the U.S. cannot survive without China. And you ain't gonna never see them go to war with the U.S. trying to invade China or China trying to invade the U.S. because it doesn't matter what their stances are politically, economically, they are tied together. There is no independence there.
So you know, also if you look at it for grammatically, independence is a noun. And independent is an adjective. So they are two complete difference. So the noun means it. What it's saying, it's free from external control. So that's
external government, external governance.
The verb is about self-sufficiency, being, you know, what you were referring to earlier. And so, it's kind of a subtle distinction, but, you know, I think on both grounds, I don't think we are. I don't think we have independence or are independent.
But we do govern ourselves. We create laws. We have systems in place. Now, mind you,
do we have control over what laws that we can create when there are external influences at play?
How we exercise them, right? And I think agency is a great word because we have laws and we govern ourselves, but we also governed by, right? Like our entire system of governance is governed by a larger system of governance. I think the question is, do you have agency?
But and I appreciate that, but that's all countries too, because we all sign on to treaties and stuff like that similarly. Whereas we all are part of the United Nations, and if you breach certain
protocols. Yeah.
There are consequences. You know, we're part of CARICOM, we're part of CARIFTA,
But what's interesting is
NAFTA
with
and all
the UN,
stuff like that.
The consequences aren't legal, right? Mm-hmm. They can't take you to court. But the consequences are supposed to be derived from the engagement of other member countries, mm-hmm. right? Just like a communal space. Mark just used the word pressure, peer pressure.
So this was one of the things the gentleman said to me, you know, that we were talking to. He was talking about political influence, right? External influences from other countries. And even though we, you know, we're technically independent since 1973, he felt that there was still significant political influence from abroad, from either our neighbors from the north or perhaps Europe. And we have to look at, you know, when you look at just for the financial services industry, you know, the pressure we get from
But that's
these
pressure.
External
that's not rules and laws and regulations that we can choose not to do it.
Right. But surely there are consequences.
Yeah, but that's for all countries. Surely there are consequences.
But everyone is just rolling over. Right?
But yeah, but
to protect their
even United States in terms of they have a bigger, wider economy that they can ignore certain policies and protocols and whatever external pressures.
Yeah, I would argue they're independent.
Still, but there's still pressures where they buckle mm-hmm. to or say that yes, we will yield, especially internally when they have protests and various groups say, hey, you can't do that.
So some things are good though, you know, like gender equality. You know, I think a lot of people would agree. Those sort of external pressures are...
No, they're not going to agree, Mark. They're not going to agree.
That's one of the things they're pressuring over it now.
Right? But I think a point you made, Nuri, and we got to transition, my guess, is about to... No, don't go. Because I also want to mention the honors list.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah. We can put Mugabe into it.
But the idea that the external, internal pressures, not just external pressures, right? And this... sort of political culture we're moving into where governments express a type of independence from the citizens that they're governing.
Right. Yes.
Right? But listen, we got to stick a pin. I want to transition quickly to just a brief note on the honors list. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get into the honors list tomorrow, more about Montague tomorrow. All of these things sort of tie together. Mm-hmm. Who do we honor and why do we honor them, right? And so...
What was surprising is that normally it's around New Year's, right? That we get the honors.
No, there's two different sets, right? There's the King's honors, and then there's the national honors.
Right.
The national honors are announced at Independence, and then they are awarded. The awards are actually given out on National Heroes Day in October.
And we can recommend people in that process, right? Is that how it works?
I'm not even sure I saw the nomination forms this year.
Hmm.
And I don't know what the process is. It's part of what I want to talk about, right?
Okay.
Like the idea of having a listening ear and an inclusive ear, which you mentioned earlier today, your conversation with the security officer outside the hotel, right? We have people all over this country that are every day thinking about the issues that quote-unquote plague the country because those are the issues that they're living with and dealing with, right? And a lot of the solutions that the government needs... whether they want them or not, are sitting in the experiences of regular Bahamians. The government has to create what the Anglican Church calls a listening ear. You have to create mechanisms to capture the voices because you know that the voices are out there. You know that your people are thinking about these issues. You know that they want to engage governance. They want to engage these lofty questions about what is independence. You know what I'm saying? They want to, but how do they engage the government? How do they connect to the government? The government creates a listening ear. And so let's fast forward because we got lots of things. I haven't even done our Sand Dollar live reads for the day, but let's get into the national honors. This weekend, the national honors list was released, and I got to call off a whole bunch of names. It's just a whole bunch of people whose names I got to mention, although tomorrow we're going to delve deeper into the list. Order of the Bahamas companion awardee, His Excellency Lowell J. Mortimer. Order of the Bahamas officer, Kenris Lolitha DeVoe Carey. That's my Aunt Kenris Carey. Mm-hmm. Order of Excellence. Now, this one we're going to talk about tomorrow. His Excellency Paul Kagame, President of the Republic of Rwanda. And Miss Maxine Waters, Congresswoman, United States of America. Order of Distinction, Officer Anita Elizabeth Cawley Verdicia, shout out to Acklands, mm-hmm. Order of Distinction Companion, our friend Reg Eldon,
yep.
Uncle Reg, Mrs. Barbara Hannah-Pierre, fellow HHT Family Association Committee member, Dr. Sandra Dean Patterson, the Honorable Teresa Moxie Ingram posthumously, Captain Fernley Palmer, your namesake,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Order of Merit Officer Ms. Brenda Knowles, another family member I had to mention, Order of Merit Companion, Basil Sands, a.k.a. the Kid. Now, if this is Basil Sands, I think it is. It's posthumously. He's a senior man to me. But I want to say, even in death, congratulations, mm-hmm. Uncle Basil Sands. Juanita Pacenti, another Acklands Islander. And I saw this name on the list, Miss Helen Smith. This is why I had to read the list today. But it doesn't say posthumously. And so I need somebody to tell me if this is my good Aunt Helen, who dedicated years and years and years of service to the Ministry of Tourism. It may not be. That doesn't mean that Miss Helen Smith is not deserving of congratulations. And then in Distinguished Service Medal category, Mr. Kino Ricardo Wong, who I think is a Johnson Terrace man, a Johnson Road man. And if I'm correct, the president of the National Neighborhood Watch Council Association. And I saw this name on the list, Miss Claudette Roll. And I wanted to know, is this our favorite Bahamian comedian, Miss Claudette Roll? Anyway, we're gonna get into that list. I see I got somebody on the line. Come in quickly. And just before we go, the Governor General gets to honor people who've given great service to the Governor General. And that list includes Mr. Jack Thompson, long-serving civil servant and permanent secretary. And I've got to include this name on the list, Mrs. Tiffany Frazier Dean, close family friend, young Bahamian, who has dedicated herself to service and to the country and deserves being recognized. And say good morning to all y'all. Tomorrow we're going to get into that list. We can talk more about independence in the context of the National Honors List. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, David Stark, in the voice along with you and your guests that you're hearing.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
I'm holding. We need justice, law, and order in the Bahamas here.
Yes, sir.
Past that. But a couple of things I want to say is, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to America and China, America are more superior than China, because America could go to Woodstock. America could survive by making its own dollars.
I get what you're saying. There's an economic freedom and a personal freedom that Americans experience is not experienced in China.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
My other point is, right,
mm-hmm.
What government should be dealing with when it comes to climate, right?
No, let's go into that tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go into that tomorrow.
All right,
but thank you very much. That's a really interesting point that you made. We can talk a bit more about that, right? Because what do you expect? What does independence mean to you, and what do you expect from it, right?
Okay. See, I think also one of the other things, the U.S. is our neighbor, and they provide security for us. They help us secure our borders, and therefore they're a much more important ally than China, you know, which is like halfway around
the
world.
Listen, when you said that, I thought to myself, look, who would protect us from the sharks if not the United States of America? But listen, Mark, I got to transition, guys. Producer, let me do the Sand Dollar Live reads. I'm going to throw out the first question for the day, and then we're going to go to a break, and we're going to bring our guest in from the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit at the Central Bank of the Bahamas. Guys, this Thursday, the 13th, and Friday, the 14th of July, Central Bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Super Value, Nassau Street. Show your Sand Dollar enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. The offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show us their Sand Dollar enabled wallet at each location. One top up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. That's 302-9880. Now on to our on-the-clock Sand Dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 3 months, we will be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in Sand Dollars if they get the correct answer. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet. and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address or custom name to transfer the funds to your digital wallet. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. So here's our first question for the day. His Excellency Paul Kagame is the president of which African country? His Excellency Paul Kagame is the president of which African country? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. For residents in the Bahamas but not New Providence, toll-free number 242-300-5720. The text line, powered by BTC, is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And when we get back from the break, Mrs. Allison Middleton, Media and Public Relations Specialist at the Central Bank of the Bahamas, will be joining us, and we're talking about myths and misinformation about the sand dollar and CBDCs. Guys, we're going to a break. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
You know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
But he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Joining me this morning is Mr. Mark Palmer on this Sand Dollar Tuesday. Before we get into the segment, I see we have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. And are you calling to answer the trivia question?
Good morning. I certainly am.
I'm ready for you.
Okay. The answer is Rwanda.
It is Rwanda. The Republic of Rwanda. Thank you very much. Now, you've given the producer your cell phone number.
Yes, I have, and my name.
Awesome. I will contact you after the show, and we'll complete the transfer of the funds.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for playing along.
Thank you.
Well, guys, we got a winner. Let me throw out the second question very quickly before we start our second segment. It is also an easy one. Now, what I wanted it to be was, for independence, Kai Joan gave the Bahamas a very special gift. What NBA superstar did he... phenom, did he posterize, right? Anyway, Kai Jones put a terribly beautiful slam dunk on Wemby, the newest entry into the NBA. But that's not the question. That was just some independence excitement. Here's the second question for the day. What position does Maxine Waters hold in the U.S. government? What position does Maxine Waters hold in the U.S. government? That's our second question for the day. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for our Family Island residents. Now joining us, good morning, Mrs. Middleton from the Central Bank. How are you?
Hi, Erin. Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I am Independence hungover. I am lemonade laid out. It was a good time.
It certainly was. We really did the country well.
Yes, without a doubt. And I know that people enjoyed themselves. And, you know, thanks to people like Elkin 360, and a special thank you out to Chili Willy Bahamas that kept us all cool over the weekend. That's a real special shout out to them. But today we're talking about myths and misinformation surrounding the sand dollar. And I guess I would let you start if you want to start.
And so I can. I just would, you know, with any new launch of any new product or any new thing, even if you relaunch something, we are in an age of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been telling from the real beginning of the project that it's probably best to get your information from the source, and that mm-hmm. source is a central bank.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start, I think that it's always very important to let the audience know that with any, again, launch or any product, etc., one must consider the motivation of the person launching it. Mm-hmm. And while there are many countries launching digital currencies and investigating it, central banks' motivation is greatly different than the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And so while something might be true for one country, it might not be true for the Bahamas. So let's not all paint us all with the same brush.
Mm-hmm.
With that, my name is Alice Middleton. I am the communication lead for the Sand Dollar Project. I've been working on it since 2018. And I am at the governor's office of the central bank.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Right, so the best thing to do is to go to the source, right? And to come to the source with your questions,
mm-hmm.
well thought out questions, because the central bank isn't afraid of answering questions, right? Like the central bank is inviting people to present their concerns and questions so that they can engage them and provide people with the correct information.
So I know we've done that on the show. Is there any, you know, what would be interesting would be, is there any plans to have debates about this? Because I think that would assuage a lot of people, you know, to have some kind of debate. Because, you know, there are, you know, like you say, there's misinformation, disinformation about central CBDCs. But then when we look back at a few years ago, a lot of the conspiracy theories have come true. So I think it's important to have those debates to put people at ease as a genuine concern.
Open forums where people can share. Mrs. Middleton, if you give me a second, we've got a caller who wants to answer the next trivia question. We just stick a pin for a moment. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
That's Maxine Waters is a U.S. Congresswoman from California.
Yes, she is. Why, thank you very much. Caller, thank you very much. Caller, you gave the producer your cell phone number and your name?
That's correct.
I will contact you after the show, caller, and
we
will connect. Thank you very, very much. Also, to the texter with the last four digits, 5761, I got your information. We will connect after the show. Guys, we've got winners to both of the trivia questions this morning. Very excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a few days. I got one more caller on the line. So are you still there? All right, there we go. We get back to our conversation now that we have completed our trivia for today. Mrs. Middleton, the point that Mark was making that we can create an air of confidence by creating forums for people to engage in a real-time conversation or debate about their concerns around sand dollar. Does the central bank have that space available, or a sort of listening ear mechanism where people can contribute their concerns, send in questions, and get a response? Ms. Middleton, your sound has dissipated. Pause 1 second.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. Much better.
Okay. So the general public has access to central bank and the sand dollar unit in particular through various means. We have about three email addresses that they can contact us on, two direct phone lines. We have WhatsApp, and they can contact us on social media. We, in the beginning, were doing a lot of webinars and having public sessions going out to Rotary and groups and the like. What we will also be starting, hopefully next month, is these general sand dollar, I guess, again, virtual sessions. These are information sessions where the general public is able to, again, get the information directly from the source. But on the Family Islands, we have been holding community meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We started doing that when we first launched ahead of the launch, and then, we went into COVID. Yeah. And now that we're back and we're able to travel, we host community meetings on every Family Island that we go to. And invite the public to come, share their concerns, allow us to, as I said, debunk the myths, and to answer the questions that they have about sand dollar, but not only that, to give us suggestions on maybe what a future iteration of this might look like, what we need to do to improve the product.
And what the dynamics are in their particular communities, mm-hmm. how they spend money and the culture around the use of money. So let's get right into debunking the myths, right?
Yeah.
I found a wonderful flyer that gave us a comparison what sand dollar is versus what sand dollar is not. So let's talk about what sand dollar is. Sand dollar is a digital Bahamian dollar. Oh, go on.
I think I'm doing.
Yeah, your volume has dropped again. So I'll read from the list, but you jump in, and as soon as the volume returns, I think we're here now. Ms. Middleton?
Am I good now?
You're a little better.
Not yet.
There we go. Okay, I'll go through the list and you chime in. So, what sand dollar is? Sand dollar is a Bahamian dollar in a digital form. It is not a cryptocurrency and it is not a stable coin. But it is fiat. It is a digital Bahamian dollar that is issued and regulated by the Central Bank of the Bahamas. And it's available only through central bank supervised financial institutions. It's non-interest bearing. It's mobile device based. It's not covered by deposit insurance. It's available to everyone and it's safe and secure. Would you like to add anything to that list?
No, I think you covered it.
All right, now let's go into what sand dollar is not. Sand dollar is not an ASU.
No, it's not.
Sand dollar is not a cryptocurrency or a stable coin. It's not a bank account. It does not expire. So like my sand dollar, my digital wallet, it can't go dormant, right?
No, it doesn't go dormant.
All right, because I had a question from an audience member. They said, what if I have a sand dollar account on a phone, I stop using the phone, but I keep paying the bill, right? The number is attached to me. Or even if I stop paying the bill, but my name is on the digital wallet, but I don't use it for 6 months, a year, 2 years, can it go dormant, and does it fall into the same legislation or policy that other dormant accounts fall under?
No. So when we think about Sand Dollar, the best and the easiest way, because it can be complicated, is this is just a digital version of the paper bank notes and coins. And those paper bank notes and coins do not expire. They go dormant. But the money itself is still there. The money does not expire.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sand Dollar is not an account. It is a wallet. It is not treated as an account. And so that will not go dormant. As long as you have access and you can prove that that is who you are, you can log on, you can download it on a new device, you can log into your wallet, and you have access to those funds. If you cannot remember your password, just like you can't remember your email password, you can go and contact your wallet provider, and they can reset that password for you, and you have access to those funds.
Absolutely. Now, can my Sand Dollars lose value, like a crypto or stock can lose value?
So Sand Dollar is not an investment opportunity. It is not cryptocurrency. It is not a digital asset. Again, it's just like the regular banknotes and coins that we have. And so can it lose value? Yes. If the Bahamian dollar loses value, Sand Dollar is the Bahamian dollar. And so that value will go down. But again, it is not separate and aside from. And our Bahamian dollar is pegged one-to-one with the U.S. dollar.
Absolutely.
So I have a question because, you know, going back to the conspiracy theorists, because they're saying, you know, if you go online, that there are plans to make the digital currencies expire. And also the idea that, you know, the government could determine where you spend those sand dollars. Is that something that you see as a risk or has some merit?
So when you look at the legislation that governs Sand Dollar, it treats Sand Dollar, the digital Bahamian dollar, the same way that it treats the physical Bahamian dollar. And because our physical Bahamian dollar does not have an expiration date on it, and that might sound like a joke to some of the audience, but there are countries, I've visited several of them, well, at least two, that their money does expire. It's printed on it that it will expire in a certain date. Zimbabwe is one of those. And so our laws do not allow for that. And because our laws don't allow for that, and because the way that the legislation is written, that it is identical to cash in its treatment in every way, then no, we do not see that as a risk. Similarly, for the geo tagging or limiting where you can spend it, we know that that can be done and is being done right now with Visa, probably American Express as well, MasterCard, etc. There are places that you're just not allowed to spend or use your Visa debit cards. And so if an organization wants to limit, for example, social services, might decide that they do not want to issue someone $1,000 for uniforms, and then that person turns around and spends that at a nightclub. So they would only have food stores, uniform stores, school supply stores, etc., as to where these funds can be spent. Again, this is being done right now. If you look at the U.S. Social Services Program, they can only spend that money that's issued on these special debit cards in certain places. So if the organization decides to do that, yes, they can. But is that something that is ingrained and written into sand dollar itself, native? No, it is not.
Absolutely. While you were talking, I thought about it. If I'm getting a digital wallet for my minor child, 18, 17 and under, I would appreciate the option, right, to maybe turn on a parental control that that restricts access to certain sites, local sites or certain businesses. I could see that, I could see users appreciating that in an attempt to manage their child's use of their sand dollar wallet. Go on, Mark.
Okay, yeah. So another question I have is, if I have enough sand dollars, can I go and buy a house with it? Or can I buy a car? Is there going to be a limit? Because there's some thoughts about potentially a limit on...
The way that the sand dollar wallets are set up, Mark, there's several tiers. So the first tier is a lower level wallet, and it has a maximum fund limit, like a maximum amount of money you could have in it at one time. Now, I'm not sure if the digital wallets as they operate today allow a maximum capacity that could purchase a car or a house.
Right. Okay. So how would one do that outside of a central bank digital currency? How would that work?
Well, that would be assuming that the digital currency is the only currency available. It would work as it normally does, right? You would purchase a house the way that you normally do. You go to the bank, you get a mortgage, and you arrange the payments through the bank.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think, right, the sand dollar isn't necessarily intended for those major purchases. Am I correct, Mrs. Middleton?
You're correct, and it's offset, and in this first iteration, it certainly is not. But we do hope that in future, we would, through the full bank account integration, and which is, when I say future, I do mean several years out, that you would be able to do a transfer the way that you would from your bank account. The wallet itself will always have those limits, but the transfer itself can be created from the wallet. It's a little technical, and we probably don't want to get into it, but as it stands right now, no. And for us in the Bahamas, sand dollar is seen right now, and for the near term and for the foreseeable future as a cash alternative, not a cash replacement. And if you wouldn't purchase a car in cash, you generally would not purchase that with sand dollar. But before we move on, I just want to point out for the parental controls or something like that, that technology, again, is not native to sand dollar. That isn't something that the central bank has built in. That is something that the wallet provider would have to develop if they have not done so already, and a feature they would offer to their customers.
Right. And so is there legislation governing the use and operation of sand dollars, A, B, governing or regulating interactions between users and merchants and users and users and users and merchants and digital wallet providers, particularly if there is a dispute?
Yes, there's legislation and regulations that have already been launched surrounding sand dollar. The first is, of course, the Central Bank Act, I think 2020 is the latest iteration that actually makes sand dollar legal tender. Then you have the Bahamas Payments.
Is that 2012?
Payments Act. No, it's been updated and revised. So all of them were vetted and placed into law around 2020, 2021.
Okay.
And then we have some, we're always looking at revising regulations and legislation. And there are some new updates to the regulations that we expect to, or hopefully at least send out to the public, if not this year and next year, that would dictate more so the interaction between the user, the consumer, and the wallet provider.
Right.
And again, this is just based on some things that we have, what we've learned since we've launched.
Mm-hmm. And will there be monitoring or oversight body to regulate the auxiliary service providers, so communications and electricity, that we need to manage and use the sand dollar system?
I believe IRCA is doing that.
Okay.
And we have a very close relationship with them.
Okay.
So there will be a secondary body.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to get on to Juan McCartney and ask him to direct me to all of the new statements, updates, regulations in terms of that. I got a question here from a texter. Can you include sand dollars in your will?
Yes, you can. It is just like you can include cash in your will, you can include sand dollar in your will.
Absolutely. Now, the biggest question and concern that's come up, the two biggest ones are, can government or a subsequent agency or business track my money and spending habits? And the second is this the road to a cashless society? And so I wanted to throw out there, why has the Central Bank of the Bahamas created the sand dollar?
So the central bank did not create sand dollar to be the first, although it just turned out that we ended up being the first.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't create it to take the country cash. What we have found is that we have 700 islands. We have individuals, Bahamians, nationals, visitors on virtually maybe about 20 to 30 of those islands.
Mm-hmm.
They do not all have access to banks. They don't have access to financial services. And so someone who's living in Crooked Island, for example, may have lost their whole life savings during Hurricane Joaquin, when the flooding came, and people were telling you that they're ancient. The same thing happened in Abaco on some of the keys with Dorian, because those individuals didn't have an opportunity to get to the bank before the storm hit.
Mm-hmm.
So if the difficulty is, you know, everyone is in business to make money. You know, and if it is not profitable for a financial institution to have a brick and mortar on an island or in every settlement in the Bahamas, it is difficult for them to provide customer service because cash is physical and it is very expensive. So with the new technology, the CBDC allows the central bank to finally provide a solution to greater financial access throughout the length and breadth of the country. And those of us in New Providence, where we have a bank on every corner, might not see this as important. But go to the family island and you're there. You think people are accepting Visa, debit, none, everybody is not. Or you are driving around from ATM to ATM, realizing the ATM all down, or worse, you're on an island with no ATMs, then you realize that this is a significant issue. So why do we do it? To provide greater financial access throughout the country.
Because I go to Eleuthera, and it is a problem. You know, if you live down in the south, you have to go all the way up to Rock Sound that's the only ATM for the Bank of the Bahamas. And so how do you, because I understand that it, you know, a lot of people are taking up, you've got 100,000 wallets. How do you get the merchants on board? Because I think that is going to be key to it, isn't it? How are they doing?
Now, I think we are all out of time. We're at 11:02. Mrs. Middleton, I think I'm going to have to invite you back next week, Tuesday, to continue this conversation. because I still want to talk a little bit more about privacy and get into some of the concerns people have about privacy. And so I want to throw this question out for our next discussion to the audience. Is your right to privacy more important than the government's obligation to provide equal and equitable access to banking services and to commerce for Bahamians? Right? I want to throw that out there for people to think mm-hmm. about when they question why the sand dollar, why a digital payment method is being offered to Bahamians.
Most certainly. I will see you next week.
Absolutely. Thank awesome. You. Thank you very, very much. I'm all out of time, Mark. I'm hoping you could join me again later mm-hmm. this week for another discussion. We started the show with me throwing out the question, do we have more dollars than cents of self? And tomorrow, what I want to throw on the table is, do we have more dollars than cents of place? Right? And sense of where we are located in the world. Mrs. Middleton, thank you very much. The Central Bank Sand Dollar team, thank you very much for this morning's discussion. I see you guys next week. And you guys stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.